Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us. We have a jam-packed show today. So many important subjects that we're going to be taking up, including right out of the gate. Public education, as pressure is mounting on public school districts to at least partially reopen their campuses. Yesterday, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control came out with a statement that it was generally safe for schools to reopen their campuses, even if all teachers have not been vaccinated. Yesterday, Governor Gavin Newsom similarly said he didn't think that teachers need to be vaccinated across the board before campuses can reopen. This, of course, is a contingent on proper protocols being followed to try and contain the spread of COVID-19. Much of this coming from the contention that kids, particularly younger ones, do not spread the virus at the same rate that adults do, and that there are measures that can be taken to help contain the spread within the classroom. Also the contention that students in doing distant learning have fallen well behind and have suffered emotionally as well in the lack of classroom interaction with their peers. I want to hear from you what you think about this contention that it's generally safe for schools to reopen even if teachers are not vaccinated. Are you a parent of students maybe in a private school where they've gone back? How has that worked out? What do you think about the school where your kid's going reopening? Do you think that that can be safely done or not? 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. We also want to hear from those of you who are teachers and students what you think about reopening campuses, bringing teachers back before there's been the opportunity for teachers to be vaccinated. We're joined, first of all, by the president of the Duarte Unified Education Association. That's the union representing teachers in the San Gabriel Valley city of Duarte. Heather Mesner is also a visual arts teacher in the district. Ms. Mesner, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. Is there a consensus among your teachers about them not willing to go back until they're vaccinated?
Hi, thank you so much. Yeah, there's definitely a consensus of not wanting to go back until vaccinations are given. And I don't blame the teachers that I represent. I feel that as their union president, it's very irresponsible for our governor to come out and say, right off the bat, you know, you don't need to be vaccinated. It's okay. Open up the schools. And we understand that our kids and our staff, we want to go back. We want to be with our students. But with the vaccines, like literally a few weeks away from all of us getting it, it's a matter of let's do this right. Let's make sure that every single school has the proper ventilation. Let's make sure that every single classroom is set up the way they need to be set up with social distancing, with the amount of sanitizer and masks and everything that we need, all the PPE that we need. There's a lot going into planning reopening schools than just, hey, let's open the schools.
Well, so let me ask you, you think your district, Duarte, is not equipped to do those things to make sure there's adequate circulation, have the kinds of things, hand sanitizer, face coverings, the like? You don't think that they would be able to do that if they reopen campuses now? Because they're probably going to have to do that even after teachers have been vaccinated.
Yeah, no, you're completely correct. It's not a matter of that they don't have those kinds of materials. It takes the manpower to make sure that the classrooms are sanitized and cleaned every day, to distribute everything, to make sure that the classrooms are prepared to have students in. And right now, even if students were to come back, you have to set up which students would be back, how many kids would be in the classroom. What is the schedule like? As a middle school teacher, I have 34 kids, up to 37 kids per class. I have 150 students per day. So So there's a lot of planning on every part of that school day to ensure that kids and teachers are safe. And go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Please go ahead, Ms. Messner.
Okay, so my point is, let's do this correctly, because teachers, let's face it, we get sick. We get sick from kids. We get sick from being around each other. It's a social environment. Let's get the vaccines. Let's do everything safely and not mess this up. I know that as the union president, I would be horrified, and I would live with for the rest of my life if one of my colleagues got sick, potentially died, brought COVID home to their families. It's something that I know for myself, I would not want to be in that position.
We're talking with Heather Messner. She's president of the Duarte Unified Education Association, which represents teachers in the San Gabriel Valley district in the city of Duarte. She's a visual arts teacher in the district, as she just said, with middle school students. Again, I'd like to hear from you what you think about what the Centers for Disease Control said, that is generally safe for schools to reopen. We have a group of pediatricians in California that have called for the immediate reopening of schools, saying the evidence is not there that there's a significant threat of community transmission from reopening schools, and saying we shouldn't wait until teachers are vaccinated. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. And I particularly like to hear from you, if you're affiliated with a school that has reopened, have you had outbreaks? What sorts of protocols are in place? What has the classroom experience been like? Have there been a smaller number of kids allowed back into the classroom while others are still doing education remotely? What's happened if you're at a school, public or private, that has reopened its campus learning? How has that gone? The pros and the cons. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Also with me, the president of the Irvine Teachers Association in Orange County, Terry Saray. Thank you very much, Ms. Saray, for being with us. Sort of embedded in this argument for schools to reopen is the contention that teachers are, you know, it's a job, but it's also mission driven, and it's public service work, so to speak, and that teachers should not be expecting a zero risk environment, that inherent in the work that they're doing is the need, given how difficult it is for distance learning on so many kids, the need to get back to the classroom and to take on some degree of what they're contending is low level risk. What's your response to that?
Thank you so much, Larry, for asking teachers to speak on behalf of their colleagues today. As Heather pointed out, teachers are get sick all the time, especially those who teach in the lower levels like kindergarten. So we're used to taking that risk of getting sick, but COVID is another beast entirely. We're talking about risking your life, and it doesn't necessarily have to happen if the right mitigations are in place, if people are safe. I'm not sure that right now there are very many teachers at all who in general prefer teaching from home. Teaching online is hard. It is more work than teachers have ever done before. It is so stressful and so difficult. And not being with kids is really difficult for teachers. They miss their students like you cannot imagine. Every time I hear somebody say something like, the teachers need to, quote, get back to work, as if we've all been sitting around doing nothing, it's infuriating. Absolutely.
And yet at the same time, would you not cede the argument that this has been, if not disastrous, it's been pretty awful for kids to have to study online?
I would say for some kids prefer it, honestly, and for others, they understand the significance of it. I'm a high school English teacher, so I'm used to dealing with older kids who can see a bit bigger picture. And that's true, we get it. But I'm in a district which did offer parents the opportunity to return in September. So we have some kids who are still learning online only and teachers doing online only, and preference was given to teachers who have medical conditions to take that assignment. But our schools have been open. And so we are in a community, a suburban community, where the city almost immediately required masks everywhere. So our infection rate is really low. Our district imposed or provided for more than what the CDC was asking for. In other words, requiring masks of everyone. The state said it's optional for grades K through two. In Irvine, no, it's required unless there's some medical condition. So the infection rate in our community is relatively low. If I hardly leave my house, I'm staying home and being safe. But if I do go to the bank because I have to, or the post office, or the drugstore, everyone's masked in my community.
Yeah.
So I think that means a lot, and all of our kids and staff are masked who can be.
All right, hold that thought, because I want to bring some listeners into the conversation. We're talking with the president of the Irvine Teachers Association, high school teacher Terry Saray. We're at 866-893-KPECC, the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. You can tweet at AirTalk or post on the AirTalk Facebook page. Mallory writes on the page, I think it's unfair of California teachers to be so unwilling to even consider going back into the classroom before getting the vaccine. I've seen multiple teachers enjoying the reopening of in-person dining and other social spaces. The argument doesn't follow that they're worried about their own lives, but not the lives of others. I would think if you're willing to take that risk in your personal life, it should at least be something you're willing to entertain in a professional environment, especially if in-person teaching provides tremendous benefit to children of disadvantaged backgrounds. That's Mallory writing on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Mallory, the only thing I'd say to that is if a teacher is sitting in a spaced, controlled outdoor dining environment where they're outside, that's still a very different environment than being in an enclosed classroom with a group of students, particularly with the younger ones, whose behavior you may not have as much confidence in as you do the other restaurant patrons when you're sitting outside. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Also joining us, the president of the San Bernardino Teachers Association, Ashley Bitas Akala. Thank you very much for joining us, Ms. Bitas Akala. Let's talk about what's happening in your district. Is everything online at this point there?
Good morning. Thank you so much for allowing us to speak with you today. Yes, in my district in San Bernardino City Unified, we actually were one of the first districts in the state to decide to stay online in virtual learning through the end of this school year. Our school board made that decision back in November. And, some of the things that you've heard from, the other teacher union leaders this morning, we are looking at our local community in San Bernardino has been really hardly hit by COVID-19. And, we're talking about this morning the CDC and the governor saying that teachers don't necessarily need to be vaccinated. But what I'd like to add to the conversation is we really have to look at each individual community and how this virus has affected us. Terry was just speaking about the Irvine community having low transmission rates. And what we've seen from these studies that are coming out is that when schools reopened and you had low transmission rates, you had all of those mitigating factors of safety put in place to a high level. You kept kids in small cohorts and you didn't intermix them. You had the air filters in place. You had masking. Now we have a vaccine. That adds another layer of safety to these strategies to mitigate the virus. We also still don't know how this virus affects us in the long term. In my district, between December 18th and mid-January, we saw 2,000 more infections just in children ages 5 to 19 in our school district. And we're seeing more kids getting this other inflammatory disease from it, this MISC, where kids are ending up in the hospital. It's very concerning with new variants. We're also seeing in Europe how, where they've had schools open and some of these studies have been done, now they're closing schools because the variants are infecting kids at a higher rate. So there's still a lot of unknowns about the virus that we don't know how it's going to affect us in the long term, how it's going to affect families. So
let me ask you, because one of the things that I really haven't heard from any teachers, including in our conversation today, is a sense that your students that you're working with online are suffering as a result of this. One of the things we heard from the pediatricians yesterday is that students are really suffering emotionally and educationally. But I haven't heard that from teachers. And I'm wondering, is there a disconnect here? Are teachers out of touch, or are the pediatricians out of touch? Are teachers just not mentioning this? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, you know, I think there's still, when we're in person, you know, it's easier to see what kids are going through because we're interacting every day in person. When you're online, it's a little bit different to try to bring those connections, and our teachers are working really hard to make those connections and to work with kids. They're spending lots of hours. They're meeting with parents after hours. They're meeting with students. So I think a lot of that is still going on. I think it's a difficult situation to be in, and we're, you know, we're still trying to do whatever we can to meet needs of students, whether it's through getting food or shelter to families, depending on their personal situation. I've heard of administrators and teachers in my districts going above and beyond to try to meet the students' needs, whether it's technology or other things. So I think those things are still going on. I think sometimes it's harder to see just because of the nature of the environment that we're in right now, because we're doing virtual learning.
You're just not able to pick up on that other side of it that we're hearing from some parents and from health professionals. We have Francesca in Baldwin Hills in Southwest LA says, I'm a parent of two 10-year-olds. We have to realize the amount of people every teacher and student see on a constant basis makes it easier to spread COVID-19. I honestly don't get what the big rush is now at this point as well, almost a year into the pandemic. Francesca, I certainly understand, but again, the Centers for Disease Control, their contention is it's not so easy, and we're not seeing significant spreads in schools, that is not a significant safety risk. Paul, writing on the AirTalk page, says, I'm a high school teacher. I don't think we should open our schools until we're vaccinated. Yes, theoretically, the classroom will be sanitized, but in reality, even when times are good, janitors can't keep liquid soap in the bathrooms or sweep floors. It's not the teacher's fault. The state and federal governments have messed up the rollout of vaccines. Vaccinate the teachers. We'll go back into the classroom. And Christy writes on the page, I'm born and raised in Southern California, but now living in Sweden, where I serve on our county school board, and I'm a doctor. We never closed our schools or daycare for 1 through 16-year-olds in Sweden, and we have excellent data as a result of our socialized medicine. There is no indication teachers are any more exposed or likely to be infected than any other essential workers. The only class of school workers who've shown a statistically increased risk of acquiring COVID at work has been principals. Locally, we've only closed down schools for a week at a time and have gone to digital for that period when we've had a localized outbreak. That's Christy writing on the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. We'll be back in 1 minute. Norma in Lakewood writes on the AirTalk page, I heard a rumor Long Beach is opening elementary schools in March. God, I hope it's true. I'm so worried about my nephew. He's like a feral child at this point. You can share your comments on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Erin in Long Beach says, I'm a parent. My son's struggling. There already is a de facto workaround with in-person with the daycare centers. We're not seeing an issue with COVID outbreaks in these places. So if we're having parents putting their kids at the YMCA and not having outbreaks, why wouldn't we open schools? Let's talk with Kathleen in Garden Grove. You're on AirTalk. Kathleen? Yeah, go ahead, please. All right, we'll go back to Kathleen when she's ready to talk. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. I want to hear from you if a parent of a child who is in a school that is back in session, what have you seen there? Have you had to close at different periods because there has been someone who's tested positive or become ill with COVID-19? Have you been able to operate largely effectively or not? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org, and let us know. Kathleen, I think we have you back. Go right ahead. You're on AirTalk.
Hello.
Hi. All right. Well, we'll give up on that one. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Parker writes on the page, let's be reasonable. Teachers also have families, and exposing them on school grounds without proper protection will also expose their family members. I don't think anybody's talking about them not having proper protection. I think the issue is, and I think the CDC and both the governor's statements indicate that there would have to be the required personal protective equipment available. There would have to be strong protocols in place. But their contention is if you do that, that then the risk to teachers and to the community is minimal as a result of that. Let me go back to Heather Messner of the Duarte Unified Education Association, of which she's president. Ms. Messner, I mean, that's what the science indicates, according to the CDC. Do you take issue with their contention?
Yes, I do. I take issue with that contention because you're still stating that being in a classroom upward to about 35 kids without being vaccinated, you're putting yourself at risk. The vaccination is coming our way in about 3-4 weeks. Why not be safe? What is the rush? I understand the big, you know, the kids are being emotionally hurt and harmed at home. As a teacher myself, I'm not seeing that as much as the talk in the community is saying. I'm teaching middle school kids every day. We teachers give them social time. We check in on them. We are making sure that they're thriving as well as they could. And the majority of our kids also that are being exposed to the virus want to be safe. My middle schoolers are advocating for us to be vaccinated, for them to be vaccinated eventually. They're very concerned about getting the virus or their family members getting it. And I've actually had quite a few students who have had it, who have it now, who have been in cohorts where there's some kids on campus and have had to be sent home because somebody in their cohort tested positive. And that is very emotionally and mentally disturbing to them.
We've had a number of listeners written on the page saying the teachers are anti-science here. They're not following. It's like JSK writes, follow the science, except when you don't want to. Your response to that you're not following the science, you're using the anecdote to trying to set a level of absolutely zero risk, which isn't going to be there even after vaccination, as the threshold to reopen.
I don't believe that there is no scientific evidence that kids are not going to get this and spread it. I think that what the CDC is saying is largely due to the amount of cases that are not being reported. There are a lot of kids that are getting the virus.
Okay, let me take some listener calls. Let's talk with Allison in Simi Valley. You're on Air Talk. I understand your little one is in school. How's that gone?
My daughter is in kindergarten, and it's going beautifully. She's only there for about 2.5 hours a day. But her school has had very minimal outbreak. There's been one student in another class, they shut down the class for 2 weeks. Those students went to online, and it hasn't affected the other classroom. They're taking temperatures. They're keeping the kids separated, but our kids are happy, and they're happy to be at school learning and to see their friends, even if it is with masks.
Allison, have any of the teachers expressed any trepidation about being back in the classroom?
When my daughter was doing Zoom before she went back, October, her teacher just couldn't wait for to be back. She would say, I can't wait to see you guys soon. And we would get emails from the principal saying that the teachers wanted to be back, and they were pretty much waiting on the city to allow it.
All right, Allison, thanks. Let's talk with Ellie in Laguna Niguel. I understand you have a second grader, your daughter, who's been back for a few months now. How's that gone?
Yes, my daughter's in second grade in Laguna Niguel in Capo Unified School District. She's been back since the beginning of October, full-time in school, and what they did is split the class sizes in half, and so they're half-time with different educators and the other half-time with the teacher, masking full day, taking temperatures, you know, hand sanitizing, all of that. It's been wonderful, and I'm very grateful that, you know, they were able to do that, and my daughter's been thriving. I don't know how, one, I would have worked, because I have to work outside of the office, outside of the home, and I don't know how my daughter, when in the beginning, when it was all in online, it was really bad.
And you haven't had any positive tests for COVID-19 in your school?
There is a website that they post all of that. There have been a few here and there, very minimal, and they do contact trace and let the people, whoever has been close to your child or whoever has been close to the COVID positive child, they will let them know and, you know, let them know what to do from there. But very, very minimal, even throughout the district.
All right. I appreciate it, Ellie. And let's talk with Gregory in Redondo Beach. You have a preschool age daughter. How's that gone?
Yeah, thanks, Larry. It's going great. She's been in preschool since June, and they follow all the mitigation procedures. That has been working very well. They did have one case of a child whose father tested positive, and the child subsequently tested positive, who had been at school, and all the mitigation procedures worked. No one got infected, despite the child being there for an entire day. So I think the key is that they have the infrastructure to have a safe place, mostly outside, and follow all the procedures. I know of others who work at schools where kids are sharing desks in poorly ventilated rooms, and there's no way that could work. So I think there is a big difference.
Sure, yeah, because it sounds like yours is a more ideal scenario that just is not going to work at many schools for the older kids. Gregory, thank you. I appreciate it very much. Let's see. Ryan writes on the page, the pressure from the governor and elsewhere to go back now really makes no sense. We chose early on to close schools, basically saying to students, wait for the vaccine. Now the vaccine is here. We're currently administering 150,000 doses a day, according to the LA Times. We want teachers to go back to school. We should take a couple days, vaccinate all of them. To force them back before then is a tremendous increase in risk for very little additional reward. That's Ryan writing on the AirTalk page. I want to thank our professional educators, union leaders who have joined us to talk about their experiences in their districts. Terry Surrey of the Irvine Teachers Association, Ashley Bidas Alcala, who's president of the San Bernardino Teachers Association, and Heather Mesner of the Duarte Education Association, which she heads up. You're listening to AirTalk on KPCC. See you.